Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Wow. What a blessing. I am so excited about the sanctified time that I've been able to set apart, and I pray that you can be with us. I've got some things I really believe from the Lord that are truly life-changing, and I pray I'm not the only one growing in my knowing of the things the Lord has deposited in my heart. I purposed years ago to never allow my heart to say, I've heard that. I refuse to allow those words to get into my heart and thereby come out of my heart, because everything God has taught me, He has built on that. And some of the things that I'm even going to share this morning may come across like, I've already heard this, or I've already heard that. I pray that you shut that voice down and that you open your heart. Got some tremendous things from the Lord. Father, I just thank you for your goodness in my life. I thank you for our church. I thank you for these precious people, their families, their destiny, their legacy, all the good things that you've put in us. Lord, I call them forth this week in a mighty profound way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I'm going to share on something that could be somewhat familiar again to some of us, but I believe the things that God's put in my heart will be fresh, will be new, and will renew some things that maybe have gone dormant in your hearts that can make a difference in our world. Most of you know what my family and I and our church and those that were able to lean in went through with my 10th grandson dying, with him being literally born dead. And how many of you know that can set you back for a moment? That can arrest you with, this isn't right, what happened here, and things of that nature. And while the miracle of Urias being raised from the dead was overwhelming and just absolutely awesome, what happened the next 20 days is profound in my own personal life and can be in yours if you'll let me download some things that the Lord's done in my heart. That 20-day journey that my family and I went through, where Urias is raised from the dead and for a moment we're all excited, he's back, he came back into his body, all of his organs were dysfunctioning. And his brain, according to the natural diagnosis, was damaged. And so we had to stand and believe God that His will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. We didn't waver. We didn't doubt. God had nothing to do with this. It's the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God came to give us life. God's the author of our life, and He came to give us life in abundance. And what we were seeing was not life in abundance. And yet we went through a 20-day journey as a family, and God began to show me things. He began to show me things about seed time and harvest. He began to show me how that miracles are not by accident, that we can sow today for a miracle tomorrow, and that I and my family had been sowing to miracles. We had been sowing to the supernatural. We had been sowing to the impossible being made possible. And there was a 20-day journey that we saw all those seeds come to fruition. And we walked out of the hospital with a totally healed young boy, every organ made whole. Every single organ. No brain damage. No signs or symptoms of a child dead and now 20 days later totally healed. But there was a process in that. There was, again, believing God and what it means to trust God, what it means to have faith in God. And so I'm going to unpackage some of those things and help you, I believe, in your walk with the Lord and how the kingdom of God works and how that there are things in God's kingdom that you can count on. They're consistent. They're reliable. They change not. They're non-biased. And yet many people do not understand the principles that govern God's kingdom, just like there are principles that govern the natural world. There are certain principles that govern the supernatural world that you can sell out to. And we did that and saw a wonderful, wonderful miracle of God. And so those things are near and dear to my heart personally, and you'll hear that as I go through this. But they're also important to each and every one of you that are listening right now, to your families, to our church. And what is seed time and harvest? And how does seed time and harvest work? And how consistent and reliable are certain principles in relation to seed time and harvest that we need to be walking in? That we need to be walking in. Just like there are principles that govern first creation, original creation. Our natural world is a part of original creation. There is the new creation that is the kingdom of God that's with us. It's in us. It's among us. We don't see it with these eyes, but the kingdom of God is in you. And the kingdom of God is here in that dimension. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says that we need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto us. You need to read that whole chapter. The things he's talking about is food and clothing and your basic needs being met. And yet when I say seek ye first the kingdom of God, what does that mean? What do people hear? If I'm going to seek the kingdom first, I need to seek how that kingdom works. I need to seek what happens in that kingdom and how to walk according to that kingdom, the kingdom of God. Seek it first versus this natural order. Natural things point to supernatural things. And in original creation, God put consistent laws that are meant to be nothing but a blessing to us, but we have to understand those laws, and so do those laws. One of those laws is the law of gravity. God didn't mean for the law of gravity to hurt us or harm us. He meant for the law of gravity to be nothing but a blessing to us. And all you got to do is cooperate with it, and it's a blessing. If you violate it, it can be a curse in your life. But it's consistent. It's non-bias. It's not legalism. It's a governing law, the law of gravity. And it's a good law. It's what's keeping you in that seat right now and not bouncing off the walls. It's what allows you to get in a car and the car stay on the ground and get you to your destination. And so it's a good law. But even within the law of gravity, there's higher laws that can supersede that law. The law of aerodynamics, the law of thrust and lift, can cause this humongous plane to overcome the law of gravity. And a plane can fly when in the natural it doesn't look possible for a plane to fly. It can override. It's a higher law within original creation that as long as that law is in operation, you're overcoming the law of gravity and blessed, be able to travel now the entire world. How many of you know, though, if you shut the law of aerodynamics off, the law of gravity is right there to meet you? And it's usually not a very good outcome. I grew up very, very, very poor, super poor. Never seen a real airplane, a live airplane. Of course, I'd seen an airplane on TV or in a magazine, but I'd never seen an airplane. Certainly had never been to an airport. I didn't know anybody that knew where an airport was. It was just really bad. So I remember as I began to prosper in ministry and fly, I'll never forget the first time I flew. It was traumatic. It was amazing. And the pressure, that feeling of looking at this gigantic piece of steel and thinking, it won't fly. How does it get off the ground? What's going to happen? How's this going to work? It was petrifying to me the first time I flew because my mind could not conceive this thing can fly. When I first started flying, I always ask for a seat at the back of the plane. I wanted a seat at the back of the plane. How many of you have seen plane crashes and there's this tail of the plane sticking out of a mountain? So I always wanted to be in the back of the plane. I've never seen a plane back into a mountain. And so it wasn't until I began to prosper and understand this thing will fly that I began to move up and found out there were blessings to being at the front of the plane. Bottom line is the Bible says in the new creation, in the kingdom of God that you and I are in as new creations, Romans chapter 8 verse 2 says that the law of the Spirit of life will absolutely cancel out the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death works for believers and non-believers. If I choose to live in sin, there's consequences to that. There's forms of death that is a harvest I'll reap. But if I walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it has made me free from the law of sin and death. It doesn't mean that the law of sin and death isn't here still and that I can't reap a form of death from that law. It means I can supersede that law and walk above that. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can bring nothing but blessings into my life. And anything that violates that, I can counter that now with other laws, with other laws. This is so important that we understand this as the people of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 27 talks about the law of faith. That chapter talks about God's grace and how we are saved by grace through faith. And then it says, well, where is boasting then? If we're not saved by our own holiness, if we're not saved by our own works of self-righteousness, but we're saved by grace and we're made righteous by God's grace through simple faith, he says, where then is boasting? He says, it is excluded. By what law? The law of works? Nay, the law of faith. There is the law of faith. There are governing principles that work with faith that we must all learn and operate in. One of the governing laws of faith is how it comes. Faith only comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. You cannot have faith beyond what you've heard God's Word. That's why I cannot reject the truth for the world and withhold the truth of God's Word. Because if I don't speak God's word in love, people can't have faith to have their lives changed and saved from all of their sins. I don't have a right to reject the truth for other people. I'm called by God to share the truth, share the word in love. And faith will come, and faith will come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And anybody who chooses to believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with their mouth, that's a principle of faith, they'll be saved. So we have to share the Word of God because it's the only way you get faith. Faith doesn't come by praying. Faith doesn't come by crying. Faith doesn't come by begging. Faith doesn't come by convincing God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It's the only way you can operate in faith. And my heart breaks for so many good Christians because they don't even know the difference between faith and believing. People believe a lot of things, but there's a difference in believing something and having faith. James said in James chapter 2, verse 17 and verse 26, that faith without works is dead. Faith without actions. Faith is an action not mentally ascending to a belief system. People believe things all the time and are not seeing their lives changed because they're not acting on faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's a governing principle. That's a law of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. How many of you know when a doctor tells you the baby's dead, you better know how to walk by faith and not by sight. It was amazing watching my son walk through this. It was amazing watching all the young people walk through this crisis, walk through this trial, fiery trial, and seeing this many young people, a generation finally raised up that's not doubting God whatsoever, that knows God's will, that doesn't have to pray about God's will, but knows that life comes from God. It doesn't come from our parents. You didn't come from your parents. You came from God through your parents. And that God gave us that son, and God gave us that grandson, and God had a purpose that he sealed in Urias's heart before he was even born. And the devil tried to steal, kill, and destroy. He tried to rob it, and we had to walk by faith for 20 days and not by sight. How do you do that, etc., etc.? Those are some of the things I'm going to encourage you in as we walk through this and as we walk this out. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Very familiar passage, but I believe we can learn some things here. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to be talking about seed, time, and harvest. I'm going to be talking about this immutable law of seeds, an immutable law of ground. immutable laws, principles that are reliable. And again, you can count on. In Galatians chapter 6, go to verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. He that teaches in the word, he that shares spiritual things, can reap then natural things as a harvest on those spiritual seeds even sown. And I'll elaborate on that as we go through this, how that seeds have life in them and they can be sown in one form but reaped in another form. He says, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Dear brothers and sisters, many times in the New Covenant, Paul and others encourage us as Christians to not be deceived. That means it's possible to be deceived. And one of the things that is so poisonous and deadly about deception is many times you don't know when you're in it. Other sins are easily discerned. Deception's not. That's why we need to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled. And we need relationships around us. We need a community of faith, and we need relationships where we can help one another to keep track and true and to stay on the straight and narrow, because anybody can be deceived. And so he's saying, look, don't be deceived. And in regards to what he's about to say, I'm here to tell you many good people are deceived. He said, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. I love that. That means God's not mocked whether you're deceived or you're not. And so let's not be deceived, because God's not going to be mocked. God is going to be consistent when we're inconsistent. God is going to be reliable when we're unreliable. God is going to be faithful even if we are faithless in certain situations. God will never be mocked. He'll never change. He'll never leave or forsake you. He wants His best to be manifest in your life. No matter what you've experienced, no matter what you're confused over, God's not mocked. We get deceived, but He'll never be mocked. Then he says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You have to understand this law of seed time and harvest. You have to understand that whatever is a seed that gets sown will create a harvest, both good and bad. And we have to learn this. We have to understand this. He goes on to say, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That is huge. Do not be deceived. God's not going to be mocked. Whatever you sow, thoughts are seeds. And you need to learn to believe for crop failure on bad seeds and replace bad seeds of thoughts with good seeds of thoughts so you get a good harvest. Words are seeds. And you need to learn how to believe. I'm going to teach you how to believe for crop failure in the seeds of words that are bad seeds that have been sown, and how to sow good seeds to get a good harvest. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Watch this. If you sow to your flesh, you will of your flesh reap what? Corruption. Corruption is to go from good to bad. You can't corrupt anything that's corrupt. I'm telling you, God has willed nothing but good for every single one of us. God has willed miracles for all of us. God has willed healing for all of us. Signs and wonders, blessings. I could go on all service with all the good things that I'm going to show you as we walk through this. God has already planted on the inside of you, but you can corrupt it through sowing bad seeds. You can take the good things of God and wind up corrupting them either innocently or ignorantly in your life. And many people have a lot of corruption. Good Christian people have a lot of corruption in their life, and they're blaming God. They're upset at God. They feel cheated, or on and on it goes with all these different reasons and excuses. And God has said, don't be deceived. I'm not going to be mocked. If you sow to your flesh, if you sow to the desires of your flesh, if you sow to the sin that can work in your flesh, you'll reap corruption. He doesn't want us even focusing on that. He wants us all to understand that and go, well, I'm not going to sow to my flesh. And when I do, I'm going to be quick to repent so I don't ruin the good things God has for me that are already mine. That are already mine. Notice again, then he says, but if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap everlasting. You have to sow to the things of God. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about works of the law. I taught this one time, and a guy said, "Pastor, I appreciate your heart, but we're not under that anymore. We're under grace." We don't even understand that by grace, God has provided everything we need, but it's by faith that we access it, and faith is a seed. Faith is a seed. Faith can be mixed with anything. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but faith can be mixed with anything, and anything become a seed by faith. Jesus said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could speak to a sycamore tree and command it to be cast into the sea, and it would obey you. Faith is a seed. We have to have faith that has action to it, and the action of faith is sowing a seed. That's the action of faith. And let us not be weary in well-doing. We're supposed to be doing well. And well-doing, that's not works of the law. That's the actions of faith. Let us not get weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Notice that, A, we need to sow to the things of the Spirit, and then we don't need to get weary because of seed time and harvest. But no, if I don't faint, I will reap the harvest on any seed that I sow. Then he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Do you know doing good is a seed you sow? Thank you, Miss Kathy. Doing good in the context is an action of faith that is a seed sown. And that you're going to reap a harvest on every single good seed that you've sown, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Write down Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Genesis 8, 22. This is after the flood. God says, as long as the earth remains, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. There will be cold and heat. The weather will fluctuate. There will be times it's cold, and it'll be strange that it's cold. And there'll be times it's hot, and that'll be strange that it's hot. Then, just so you don't get confused, there's also going to be winter and summer. Winter's coming. No matter what you think, no matter what you do, no matter what you drive, winter is coming. And summer is coming. You can count on it. Why in the world in Texas, in the middle of August, are people complaining about it being hot? We're only a couple of miles from hell itself. It is hot in the summertime. And God promised you, you're going to have winter, and guess what? It's going to get cold. And you're going to have summer, and guess what? It's going to get hot. And then he said, day and night shall not cease. They're constant. They're reliable. God has ingrained it into the original creation. And what he's trying to tell us, saints, is that just as sure as the sun came up this morning, and just as sure as it will go down this evening, it's just as sure whatever a man sows, he'll reap. So quit complaining about what you don't have and find a seed that you can sow to get what you want. Because for every need you have, there is a seed God's provided. Wow, that's a great response. I'm impressed. The earlier service didn't do quite as well on that one, so you kind of threw me. There is no need in my life that God hadn't already provided a seed. And he doesn't want me doubting him. He doesn't want me blaming others. He doesn't want me feeling cheated. He doesn't want me feeling like I'm less than others. A seed is non-discriminatory. A seed is non-biased. A seed doesn't care what color you are. A seed doesn't care what gender you are. A seed doesn't care what your financial condition is. A seed doesn't care where you came from, where you're going. All a seed needs is to be planted. And it will activate the ground to bring forth a harvest. So I need to live my life sowing seeds. I need to be thinking, what do I want tomorrow, and find a seed today and sow it. And expect, just as sure as the sun came up and will go down, I'm not worried about it. I'm not wavering about it. Nobody got up before the sun came up and sat on your back porch and wrung your hands and sweat and was full of fear and anxiety. Is it really going to come up today? Is the sun really going to come up today? You expected it to come up. You weren't even surprised when it came up. And you're not going to worry during the day about it going down. You expect it to go down. Why don't you expect whatsoever a man sows, that will he reap? Why don't you expect to think about whatever you want and see if God has not given you a seed? Learn to plant it, learn to water it, and watch the Lord of the harvest. I'm going to teach you that Jesus is the Lord of the harvest over every seed. And that he will bring forth fruit in your life. If you can just mix simple faith with seed time and harvest. Now let's go to my main passage. I apologize for that long introduction. But here's where I want to start. Mark chapter 4. We're going to spend time here. And I'm going to start in a different place than most would think. Because Jesus has told this awesome parable about farmers and seeds and ground. Then he explained the parable about farmers, about seeds, and about ground. Then he makes this statement. I want to start with the statement that he made. Bring forth, I pray, some wisdom so that toward the end we can look at what Jesus said about seed time and harvest and receive wisdom from it. In Mark chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 26. Mark 4, 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. You want to understand God's kingdom. You want to understand how God works in your life. You want to understand how grace and faith work together. Here's how the kingdom works. The whole kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. If you want to know how to live an overcoming life, if you want to know how to build a healthy marriage, how to see health and wealth in your life, then you're going to have to understand this is how the kingdom works. It's as if a man should cast seed. Everything works with seed in God's kingdom. Everything you need or want is in a seed. He goes on to say, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. The farmer doesn't understand all the mysteries of seeds, but listen, the farmer was smart enough to sow it. Yeah. And the farmer was smart enough to water it. And the farmer was smart enough to keep the locusts off of it. And the farmer was smart enough, we're going to see as we keep reading, to harvest the thing. He goes, he didn't know how it works, but he's not worried. He's not stressful. He knows seed time and harvest is an immutable law of God. And so he's just going to bed, waking up, going to bed. Look at what happens. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. I need you to remember that. The earth, the ground, brings forth fruit of itself. That's huge. The ground brings forth fruit. The ground has in it everything you need. All the ground needs to produce the fruit is a seed. Is a seed. He says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and the full corn in the ear. There's a seed time harvest. You plant the seed, you don't always get a harvest overnight. First the blade. This isn't really what I was believing for and exercised my faith to receive, but I see movement. I see something heading in a direction here. I've got the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. God showed me that I wasn't reaping the harvest in some areas of my life and this ministry that I'd been sowing to for years. I want to teach you some of those things that can help you recognize your harvest and how do you even reap it? Because many people have got a harvest, but they don't even recognize it because of the mysteries of the ground and the mysteries of seeds. There are mysteries about seeds I don't understand, but what I do understand, I need to operate in and reap the benefits. I don't understand everything about a microwave, but I reap the benefits of it. I put something in, I close the door, I push a couple of buttons. It turns, and I hear a ding, and everything's cooked or heated. I don't know how microwaves really work and all the mysteries associated with it, but I know enough to prosper from it. Amen. I don't know everything about the engine of a car, but I know how to put a key in, turn it. I know how to drive it. I'm reaping the benefits of a car not having full knowledge of everything about an automobile or an automobile engine. The things of God are that way. God wants us to be prospering with limited knowledge, with the full intent of seeking more knowledge to add to your knowledge to even see greater blessings. I don't know everything about seeds. To this day, with all the wisdom we have in our culture, with all the knowledge, with knowledge doubling in just a little over a year, all the knowledge we have will double. That's how fast knowledge is increasing in these last days. And yet the mysteries of a seed, many things remain a mystery. One of the things we do know about seeds is they have life in them, but how many of you know they're dormant till you sow them? Okay, not very good. I got one yeah right there. Seeds have life in them, but they're dormant till you sow them. God's word is called seed. It has His very life in it, but it remains dormant until it is sown. Seeds are sown, and here's a mystery. They have to die. They have to fall in the ground and die. Then they bring forth a harvest. John chapter 12, verse 24 says, "Except a grain of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it falls in the ground and dies, it brings forth a harvest after its own kind." This is so simple but profound to me. I'm in a growing spurt right now in my personal walk with the Lord. And I've always grown in my walk with the Lord. I've refused to not grow. But if I'm honest, I've had seasons where I'm growing faster than other seasons. And I'm reaping a harvest on so many seeds I've sown in my personal life in relationship with God. And one of the things that, again, is amazing to me is how that a seed has life in it, falls into the ground and has to die, but when it comes out in a totally different form and in multiplication. One corn, one kernel of corn. This is fascinating to me. I know this may be boring to some of you. And those that are listening from New York, hang on. Because I know it's hard for them to get a hold of any farming illustration that the Bible's full of. And so you got this one corn seed. But when you plant it, you don't reap just one corn seed. You reap a stalk with different ears on it. And listen, on one ear of corn, you've got up to 600, as much as 800 corn kernels on one ear. How is that? But see, what's cool about that is whatever spiritual seed I'm sowing, I'm going to get it back in multiple form like that, is the mystery that I'm supposed to learn. So seeds have to be sown. Can I get a witness? You do have to sow them on good ground. You can't sow seeds on concrete and expect a harvest. So where we sow our seeds and how we sow our seeds is important to the process. They need watered. How can I go to church my whole life, not understand in the kingdom of God, there are those that are planting God's word in my heart, there are those that are watering God's word in my heart, and that God is the one that gives the increase on every seed that I've sown. And yet, how many people really know, how do you plant it? How do you water it? And how do you then get the increase? Again, everything comes from a seed. There is nothing you see that didn't come from a seed. There's nothing you wear that doesn't come from a seed. There's nothing you eat that didn't come from a seed. Everything in our life comes from seeds. Comes from seed. Did you know you came from a seed? Your very existence is because God's word is true. Your very existence is because God never lies. Your very existence is because God ordained in original creation seed time and harvest. And He has even ordained in the kingdom of God, the new creation, seed time and harvest. You were born of a seed. Without a seed, you wouldn't have even been here. Did you know your mama could not produce you? Women cannot produce fruit. They cannot produce children. They bear children. It's the seed that produces the fruit. that produces the fruit. You can't produce any fruit in the Christian life, but as the wife of Jesus, you can bear fruit, and your fruit remain if you understand seed time and harvest. If you understand the process God has built within the kingdom of God. Jesus is called the promise seed. And because of Jesus being a promise seed, you've been born again. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:23, not by a corruptible seed, but by an incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever, the Word of God. My first birth came from a seed. My new birth has come from a seed, the Word of God, Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ Himself. If you belong to Jesus now, Galatians chapter 3 says you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So seed is everything. Now let me give you the mystery of the ground. Before I do that, seeds are sown in one form and reaped in another form. This is where I've grown a lot. This is where a lot of my friends have missed it. This is where a lot of you are missing it. Is seeds are sown in one form, but they're reaped in another form. Did you know your body is a seed that has to be sown? You didn't know that? Nobody over here knew that? Did y'all know that your body is a seed that has to be sown? That your body cannot inherit the kingdom of God? It has to be sown back into the ground from which it came. And it is sown in one form, but reaped in another form. It is sown. 1 Corinthians 15 says, your body is sown in weakness, but it's reaped or raised in power. Your body is sown corruptible, but it is raised incorruptible. Your body is sown mortal, but it is raised an immortal body. I'm going to show you tonight. Oh, I can't wait for tonight. But I'm going to show you tonight how even Jesus, the promised seed, was sown in one form. He was raised in a totally different form. This is why people are missing their harvest. They're sowing seeds, and while I sow corn, I can expect corn. I got to be careful with mixing my faith with things and sowing a seed in one form and reaping it in another form. An acorn, and I know it's acorn, don't write me. Dear God, I'm in Central Texas. Acorn. Everybody knows what I mean when I say acorn. An acorn seed, I used to think, has an acorn tree in it. I'm going to show you the word teaches different. And I used to think if you sow an acorn, you reap an acorn tree. But I discovered that we sow acorns all the time and we reap baseball bats. We reap pianos. We reap siding for buildings. That seed is sown in one form, but it's reaped in a totally different form. I live in a log cabin, and I walked with God personally and Sue over this, and I believed God for our log cabin because when I met Sue and before we got married, that was one of the things I promised her was a log cabin. Young guys that are here, listen up. You need to learn some things about life. Forget what the world's telling you about men and women. They're confused. Many of them don't even know their gender or think that we're in charge of our gender assignment. There are things being taught that are so corruptive, so deceptive, so damaging to young people that many are propagating. There's up to 100 genders now. There's only two. God made it simple so you would not get confused. It's the world that's confusing us. So young men, listen up. If you don't have any money, you got to have something going for you to get a trophy wife. When I met Sue, I was poor. Super, super poor. I was poor. I was so poor, I couldn't pay attention. It was terrible. I was broke, broke. I had no money whatsoever. And so if you don't have money, you got to have good looks. See, you think you know where I'm going. You got ahead of me unjustly right there. And because I didn't have good looks in that department really going for me, The third thing that a woman is attracted to is vision. Vision. Women are attracted to vision. Women are drawn to vision. Women want at large to be married and to be a part of a family and have a husband that's willing to lead, not manipulate her, not be better than her, not overbearing to her, not rude to her, but love her and lead the family, protect the family, have a vision for our home. That's how simple it is, and the world's perverted it and twisted it and messed up a whole generation's mind, even on the institution of marriage. But I'm telling you, I didn't have any money. I was struggling in the looks department, and so I cast vision, and I got a trophy wife. That's how you get a trophy wife. And so one of the things I promised her, I'm doing everything we talked about almost 40 years ago. Vision. Vision. Women want to follow. They want to bring their vision under a vision where there's no division, but they got to know where we're going. And do we match? And do our visions mesh? All those things. And so I've been sowing and sowing and sowing seeds in one form, believing for a log cabin. And I live in one of the most beautiful log cabins ever built. I believed for that. I sowed to that, and I sowed seeds in one form, but I reaped them in another form. Let's look at the ground here and the mystery of the ground. We could spend hours on seeds, how that seeds have life in them, but they have to be sown. They have to be watered. What good would it do for you to have all the seeds in the world in your barn of everything you would ever need, and they don't get sown? They have to be sown in good ground. They have to be watered. They have to be protected. And then the harvest comes. Let's look at the ground and the mysteries of the ground. Now, I'm going to say some things that are going to be new. Go to Genesis chapter 2. But I want you to hang on to them because I've got the rest of the week to elaborate on them. Let me just say this, then I'm going to show you some scriptures. Everything came out of the ground. Everything came out of the ground. The ground was created by God. The earth was created by God. And everything man would need, God put it in the ground. God took it out of the ground. And within everything that comes out of the ground, He put seed in it so that it would remain. If something comes out of the ground and it doesn't have seed, it's not going to be able to remain. So I want you to rethink how everything man needs comes out of the ground. And I could one-on-one sit down with people and just go on and on about different things. Wealth. The wealth of the world came out of the ground. Diamonds came out of the ground. Gold comes. Everything you need was in the ground and comes out of the ground. Look at Genesis. We'll start with Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Living soul. Living spirit soul. Became a spirit soul. Became alive with the very spirit and breath of God. God formed man. He brought man out of the ground. We came out of the ground, not the evolution of a monkey. Amen. You came out. Man came out of the ground. God stood him up, and he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. And spirit came on the inside of Adam, the first man that came out of the ground, and he became a living spirit soul. That was his heart that gave life to his natural brain and life now to his body. To his body. And guess what else he gave Adam? He gave him seed so the human race could remain. Look at verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God, and out of the what? The ground made the Lord God to grow every what? that it is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man came out of the ground, and he just said that the trees came out of the ground. And God made them to grow. God pulled the trees out of the ground. Orange trees came out of the ground. Apple trees came out of the ground. Pear trees came out of the ground. Flowers came out of the ground. God, when he created the earth, he put in the ground everything in first creation we would need to have a blessed and fruitful life. And everything that came out of the ground had seed. Look at verse 18. Go to Genesis 2, 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. The birds came out of the ground. The beast came out of the ground. The lions came out of the ground. The monkeys came out of the ground. Everything was in the ground. And God brought it out of the ground. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 18, or 26 talks about how we're created in God's image and in his likeness, and how God gave us, man, dominion over the earth. Verse 27 again affirms we're created in God's image, male and female. Look at verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that creeps upon the earth or moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you shall be for meat or for food. I've given you everything you need. Don't whine about orange juice. There's an orange tree with oranges. And if you want orange juice tomorrow, don't drink up all and use up all the oranges. Take the seeds and plant the seeds so you can have orange juice tomorrow. Everything God created came out of the ground. Everything. And everything God created had seed so that the fruit would remain and so that we would fill the earth and replenish the earth with seed time and harvest. In original creation, God intended for us to fill the earth through seed time and harvest. I submit to you that in the new creation, the kingdom of God, and you and I are part of that kingdom now, everything you need is in the ground already of your heart. What that ground needs out there is a seed to activate the fruit. I used to think that the tree, now hear me, I used to think, first of all, I didn't know where the tree came from. I thought for years God just spoke that into existence. No, he took it out of the ground. Everything came out of the ground, and everything had seed. I used to think that in the acorn seed was the tree. No. The life of an acorn tree is in the seed. The tree is in the ground. The seed activates the ground to produce the harvest. Amen. That needs to sink in deep. Because I'm telling you, I'm going to walk you through how that if you're born again, your new ground, a part of your ground, a part of your heart, your spirit has everything you already need already in it. But it needs a seed to activate it to come out into your life now. If I'm telling you, that dirt that's out there, I see a building out there. I see a building in the ground. That building is in that ground. And it will come forth by a company of people that will believe and exercise faith to receive. Do you know what else is in that ground? Anything we eat. Listen to me. Oranges are in that ground. You can't see them, but they're in there. And all that ground needs is a seed, an orange seed. And if I take an orange seed and put it in that ground out there, if I put it in the ground over here, guess what? The ground over here has an orange tree in it too. And the ground back there on that baseball field has an orange tree in it. That ground out there that you call a football field, bless your darling heart, there's orange trees in it. It's an orange grove. Well, I don't see any oranges. I know, they're in the ground. All it needs is a seed. But if I'm wise enough to put a seed in the ground, water it, how many of you know we'll have a grove of orange trees out there? And yet, how many Christians are feeling cheated? How many Christians are feeling, well, it just doesn't work for me? Can you imagine you coming up to me? I love you, but can you imagine you coming up to me and saying, look, that seed thing just doesn't work for me. I want a harvest of corn and seed just doesn't work. I would lovingly slap you. I'd bring you back to reality that, wait a minute, that ground is no respecter of person. And that seed has life in it. All it has to do is be sown, die, and there'll be a little bitty shoot that'll come out the bottom of it called a root. And it'll suck the tree right out of the ground. And then it'll push a blade up, an ear, and the full corn in the ear. If you could see this, you wouldn't struggle with your relationship. You would never doubt God again. I've experienced self-doubt in my walk with the Lord, but I, to this day, have never doubted God. My entire adult life, I've never doubted God. God is alive. God tells the truth. God is reliable. God is faithful. Even if I'm faithless, God will not be mocked. I may get deceived at times and struggle with things and not understand things. And why isn't this working for me? And why didn't I see a miracle? And why did that baby die? I don't know why that baby died, but our baby lived because of seed time and harvest. Hallelujah. It wasn't an accident. I didn't get a very good applause on that. Because see, people think miracles are by accident. People think miracles are on God's end, and you just never know what God's going to do. I know this is going to sound terrible. I just heard that. I know what God's going to do. He's going to tell the truth. He's going to never change. He's the same yesterday and forever. He is faithful to His word. Whatever He promises, He is faithful to perform. He's the Lord of the harvest. And we may experience defeat after defeat and a bad harvest after a bad harvest, but God's not mocked. We can repent of all this other stuff and believe God and have faith to sow seeds and see whatever harvest we want. You want a better marriage? There's seeds to sow. You want health? There's seeds to sow. You want wealth in your life? There's seeds to sow. Do you realize that we are sitting in the presence of God, and there are some people probably sitting here. Listen, you're one thought seed away from being a multimillionaire. Do you realize all these millionaires and billionaires had a thought seed, sowed it, watered it, and met a need with a seed that they sowed it in one form and they're reaping it in a totally different form. And many of you are just one seed, one thought seed away from a changed life, one seed away from a miracle, one seed away. You know, even if none of this is true, doesn't it sound awesome? It's like I know of people that are hearing me and they'll sit back there and they'll, not that you're at the back, but they'll sit in the midst of the congregation. That was an excellent speech. I enjoyed that. That sounded so good. But you never know. No, I do know. I do know God loves you. I do know God hadn't cheated you. I do know God doesn't will anything but good for you, blessings for you. Why don't you and I quit corrupting the good things of God that are in our ground and maybe get a seed that'll activate the ground in your spirit and bring forth fruit? I don't know about you, but I'm looking for seeds. Every time I have a need, I'm looking for seeds. I'm looking for seeds. I'm looking for seeds. There is no need that you can bring to me or God that he hadn't given you a seed. And you just have to learn to mix faith with the seed. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to elaborate a little bit on this ground, because I've discovered some good Christians have kind of gotten a hold of the seed side, but they don't understand the ground side. Did you know in the book of Genesis, until the flood, God watered the earth from beneath it and made everything grow from beneath? This is why Noah was such a miracle and a man of faith, talking about a flood coming and rain. It hadn't rained. God watered from beneath. What if your ground has the Holy Spirit already in it, and God from your spirit, that ground, when you take a seed and you put it in your soul, maybe God's watering that seed from beneath. And maybe that seed is growing down into your spirit now and drawing out into your soul, renewing your mind, transforming your life with a blade, an ear, and a full corn. You know, even if you don't believe this, doesn't it sound nice that God loves us all the same, hasn't cheated any of us, is with all of us, and made, I believe, us good ground. Hallelujah. I believe you're good ground, and I speak the word of life over every piece of dirt that is setting here. And I pray God's will be done in earth, in your dirt, in your ground, as it already is in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I just thank you. We're going to see miracles this week. We're going to see just signs and wonders. I've already sown and sown and sown. Others have sown in prayer. Prayer is how we sow seeds. Prayer is how those seeds get watered. And I just thank you that tonight's going to be over the top. That we're going to break through. That we're going to have breakthroughs in seed time and harvest. We're going to refuse to let our minds say, I've heard this. Father, I just thank you that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank you that you put everything in the ground in first creation, and man had every need met by seed.